Father, we thank you that you are sovereign Lord over everything that is in heaven and on earth. That you know our hearts. And that your great longing is that we would know you even more deeply. And that knowledge would be evident out through us. Holy Spirit, come. Train our hearts in this time. Help us hear the voice of the Lord and fall in love with him again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When Andrea and I were at Trinity, from time to time, faculty members would take teams of students to lead mission and renewal weekends in parishes within driving distance of Ambridge. It was a great opportunity for us as students to get away from our books for a weekend. I think that was the primary attraction of it, to be very honest. But we also got to experience some actual hands-on ministry, visiting people in their homes, having conversations about God and about faith. And on the Sunday of the weekend, whichever it might be, the faculty member who had taken us would preach, and the student team would take various roles in the worship. There was one particular weekend I'll never forget, because the scripture reading at the concluding service was the same that we just heard from the first seven verses of Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, I will confess that a significant part of why I remember this is because it was Andrea who was reading the lesson. But as she read, I could hear Paul's words coming across as a prophetic expression of God's love and calling to the people in the church that we were visiting, the people who were at worship that day. It was like his personal love letter, just to them. In the 30-plus years that have intervened, those words have not changed. And thank God their power has not changed either. Just as on that day, more than 30 years ago, God continues to be speaking those same words to us at Church of the Savior as well. He wants us today to hear them, not as just another reading from Scripture, not even just as expressing true truths about God and about his kingdom, but as his living word addressed fresh to us this morning, December 18th, 2022 AD, to us, to Church of the Savior, to each of us, and to all of us. This morning we'll actually look almost exclusively at verse 7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all. This is not a word addressed to an exclusive elite of privileged people. I wonder if some of us may have the habit, when we hear promises from God's word that come with the label all, of automatically editing ourselves out. Do we act as if whatever we might say with our mouth, we're too bad, too unworthy, too wrong to be loved by God? The psalmist David prayed, "O God, you know my folly and my shame. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you." This is the same God whose love for him David is constantly extolling in the Psalms. God, my friends, is not surprised by your my sin. He's not shocked by it. He's not sitting on his throne in heaven today saying, "Oh, myself, I had no idea that Dennett was that horrible." Or you can put your own name in. Of course, we would never say that we exclude ourselves from the promises of God. But do we do that in practice? Because if we do, we're functionally at least excluding ourselves from the benefits of those promises. God says to all who are loved by God, not some. There's no asterisk after the all. There's no fine print clause of exceptions and exclusions at the foot of the first page of the letter to the Romans in my Bible, and there's none in yours either. See, because Romans was, well, it was kind of written by a lawyer, but the lawyer was saved, you see. To all means what it says, to all. That means that it includes you and it includes me. To all who are loved by God, at the risk of telling us one too many times what we already know and what's hard enough for us to acknowledge, Church of the Savior has had a very hard time of it, especially the last month. All of us are grieving in some way or another right now. It's against that specific backdrop of our grief and our loss that God in His Word this morning says to Church of the Savior, to all who are loved by God. Church, hear this, hear it, take it in, hear it not just with the physical ears, but with the internal spiritual ear of your heart. To all who are loved by God means all, and it means loved, and it means by God. God loves this church. God loves every single person who is sitting in this room this morning. If we or you were the only one, His love would be unconditional and eternal. God loves us because God is love, because it is God's nature to love, because God will not not love. Hear this, beloved friends, as God's prophetic word delivered personally to Church of the Savior this morning, December 18th, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Church of the Savior is included in all those who are loved by God. God loves Church of the Savior, and He loves each person who's part of this church. So what's the catch? Well, it is true there is more to this statement. To all those who are loved by God and called to be saints. You know, I hated history when I was in high school and college. I took it because I had to. It was boring and dull. But when I met Jesus, all of a sudden, history became alive because in many, many ways, it's the story of people who have known Him, who have sought to be faithful to Him, who have more or less, you know, like the All Nations definition says, attempted to live in loving obedience to Jesus and His commands. And some people's attempts have been really, really superior. And we, over the years, have called those folks saints. We set aside days in our church calendar to remember them. And that's all great. It's exciting to read the lives of some of the saints from history. If you haven't done it, I recommend it. But put all those aside. In the Bible, the word saints is simply a shorthand for the whole church. That means you and me. All the people of God, including the vast preponderance of those of us who see ourselves as merely ordinary. But the truth is, there are no merely ordinary people in God's kingdom. You and I are not just loved by God, Church of the Savior. If that was all, that would be wonderful. But it's not all. We're also called to be saints. Now, there are two things about that call we must know. First, this is a call to be what the Word says. In the biblical languages, the word saints, many of us, I think, know this, is simply a different form of the same word that means holy. And holy has not to do with some kind of, you know, esoteric piety. It simply means separated. It's an essential disposition more than it isn't a behavior or even an attitude. It means separated. Separated in this instance from the world and its ways, the world that is headed for destruction and its ways, separated to God. You and I are called to be saints, to be separated to God. What does that look like? It means that our primary focus in life, our essential allegiance, becomes to God and His kingdom and His plan to restore all humanity and eventually the whole creation to Himself. It means that in case of conflict, we will come to prefer honoring God, giving ourselves to Him and others in love, which is only a reflection of the love with which He already loves us. We'll never be more loved by God than we are now, but we will grow in that love. And it means that as we do, our behavior increasingly will come out of a heart that is more and more surrendered to Jesus, to His lordship, to His will. Now, before we get too concerned, I'll just speak personally, at the evident gap between what I'm telling you right now and what anybody who knows me can see in my own life, just saying, you'll notice there's a difference in the time frame and the order of events in this verse. We are addressed as those who are already loved by God because He already does. He has from eternity. We'll never be more loved by God than we are at the point of first hearing those words. We'll never be more loved by God than we were from the very beginning. His love is constant and it's eternal. The same is not true of our life of holy consecration to Him. We are called to be saints. A call does not have to do with what we already are or where we have been. It has to do with where we are going. A call looks forward into the future. It holds out, moreover, the expectancy of an increase, that the time will come when we will live even more separated to God than we do now. There's certainly room for that, isn't there? Well, the promise of the call is that's going to happen, that our love for God will grow to become more and more like His love, with life, mindset, choices, and actions to match more and more accordingly. So, beloved of God, called to be saints, how are you progressing in holiness today, in consecration, in separation to God? Just on the possibility that there might be room for development of those qualities in us, what way might the Spirit of God, who is called in Scripture the Spirit of Holiness, be wooing you to go even deeper in your separation to God? What might be a next step? Holy Spirit, help us dream big. Give us a vision that's so big that we have to fail at it, because to succeed at less would prove it wasn't you. What would you do with us, Lord? Have your way. Well, finally, we come to God's prophetic word to all those who are loved by Him, who are called to be saints. The last part of verse 7 says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In one sense, this is just a standard greeting. In the ancient world, all letters began with some form of the word grace addressed to the recipient. Paul has adapted that commonplace salutation of his culture of origin, and he uses it, or some variant, in all of his letters. But for Christians, grace is not just some vague abstraction or wish of goodwill. Grace is what God has demonstrated in flesh and blood in Jesus and His gospel, the benefits of which Paul has just finished summarizing in our first 6 verses. And peace is the outcome of receiving that gospel, of being loved by God and called to be saints. Are you experiencing peace in your life today? If you're not, it might be an opportunity for God to help you become more surrendered to Him. Lastly, this greeting of grace and peace comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already been introduced to them in verses 1 through 6. I'm not even going there. To unpack those would be like drinking from a fire hose. I encourage our meditation on those verses and of whom they speak. We can only summarize them here. First, God is the owner, if you will, of the gospel, the good news. It's His gospel, His good news. He promised it long ago through the prophets and in the scriptures. And I think Paul has primarily in mind when he speaks of the scriptures, the law, the Mosaic covenant with God's people, Israel. We can read those today and know that good news because those scriptures point us to Jesus, who is God's Son, but also descended from David, both God and human. As the God-man, Jesus died, but He was also raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, who in doing so also declared Him to be the Son of God in power. I want to stop there for just a minute. In power. Do you know why the world doesn't believe? There are many reasons, but one of them is they don't see any power in our message. We don't worship a dead God. We worship one who was raised from the dead, and it says it was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't read the Acts of the Apostles and think, well, that was back then, and this is now. God is a God of power. He is a God who loves to set captives free. He is a God who is waiting to see a church yielded and surrendered to Him so that His power can be displayed through us to an unbelieving world, whether they choose to receive it or not. The relationship of God the Father to God the Son is one that releases God's power. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that power. If you know Jesus Christ today, then you know that power. Jesus said, except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That spiritual rebirth doesn't happen because we had a mental decision only. It happens by the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead and who has raised you and me from the death of sin and transferred us into His kingdom. By power. And as we surrender more and more to that power at work in our lives, helps us more and more receive God's love and grow in His holiness, and that creates the faith to obedience. And it says, for the sake of His name among all the nations. So our obedience of faith in turn gives Jesus glory, and that glory goes all the way out to the very nations of the earth, all the people groups of the world. If we're going to hear Romans 1:1-7 as God's prophetic word to Church of the Savior this morning. A word addressed to us in our particular circumstances, right where we are. We we need to think for a moment about what has been the impact of verses 1 through 6 on us. We've heard God's good news. We've heard and read it in the scriptures. We've come to know Jesus not just as a great human being and teacher, but as Son of God and Savior. We've come to identify even with him in his death. In all the places in our own lives where we've experienced death, whether literal or metaphorical, and perhaps especially in this season where we are surrounded by so much death. It's not a surprise to Jesus. He's already been there, done that. And he has the t-shirt to prove it. It's called the resurrection from the dead. And we've known and seen him move in his glorious power. Perhaps that power has been nowhere more evident than in all the nations to which the gospel has gone from right here among us who are Church of the Savior. And all this is so, beloved friends, because you and I are loved by God, called to be saints, and gifted with his grace and peace. So, to all those at Church of the Savior who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.